This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo, man. How the heck are you? It is the Monty Show. Make sure you go ahead and crush that subscribe button right there on the good old YouTube machine. And thank you for listening to our audio podcast as well. An amazing week on the audio podcast. God bless Stitcher Radio and Spotify, amongst two of the great places you can find The Monty Show. Just open Google and search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. YouTube comes up. All of our podcasts come up. My awesome Twitter feed comes up. Screw Jake's Twitter feed. SLC
what
Supercars.
Twitter feed?
Yeah, because like you would have to actually use Twitter to like you never are on Twitter. No, well, Instagram is where the millennials are at. I'm getting bitches. Anyway, subscribe to us, Clubhouse. Subscribe to us on the old YouTube machine. Find us the Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y. The Monty Show. So let's get into some gambling stuff via Jake. How about FanDuel? Okay, so FanDuel went from like cool daily fantasy to give me your money and lose your home. They went to like the sportsbook model, which is fine, right? Like, I mean,
that got very serious.
But I'm not wrong. Well, FanDuel apparently is very good at hoodwinking people because they've put out some NBA championship odds. And listen, nobody likes a good old disagreement over the sports genre more than me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
These are the stupidest odds I've ever seen. I mean, seriously. Now, I'm all in on the fact that FanDuel needs people to bet money, and when they put out ridiculous odds like this,
yeah.
people are like, oh, these idiots, you know, we'll just bet and win. We'll win.
Yeah, it stirs the pot for right. sure. There's some of that here.
Okay, so the Lakers, according to FanDuel, the Lakers are plus 250, which means they have the best odds to win the NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind that AD doesn't have an Achilles tendon.
Couldn't really walk off the floor. Whatever.
The Nets are number two at plus 440.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about them, Phoenix Suns fan, in a minute. The Clippers are plus 500. Those are your top three.
Okay.
Pretty reasonable. The Lakers are twice as likely, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, to win the NBA championship as the Clippers. Okay. Yeah. Here's where it really gets kind of liquidy and murky, and you really need to eat more fiber. The Bucks of Milwaukee, Joe Biden's town hall town,
right?
Are plus 700.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so plus 700.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah Jazz are plus 1,400.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Listen, cocaine's a hell of a drug. Can I just explain? That means that you believe the Milwaukee Bucks are twice as likely to win the championship as the Utah Jazz.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Yeah,
I don't know who made
this
list, but that's whack.
I mean, currently the Bucks are on a four-game skid. Giannis Antetokounmpo can't shoot a three. Like, you're watching teams back off of Giannis and just let him shoot because he can't?
Yeah.
They're not, in my opinion, they're not a championship contender.
No, so the top of the list is Lakers. So the first three, Lakers, Nets, Clippers, right?
Yes.
So yep. Those three I agree with, right? Like, any mix of those three, okay, cool. I think that's pretty reliable. But the idea that the Jazz, with how well they're playing, are behind the Bucks.
Yeah.
My question just simply is, was that intentional, or are they or are the Jazz just that disrespected in the league? You know? Like, are the Jazz a team that nobody respects?
Oh, Jake.
But it begs the question.
Jake,
like,
MF
we talk
Jake.
About the Jazz every day on this show.
Why
and
go
then
there?
FanDuel, I didn't go there. FanDuel went there.
Me?
I'm just talking about it. This is
Me?
Not. These are not my. This is not
I
my plan.
I was over here with KD.
Yeah, I was over here in Brooklyn, and then they put this list out. Like, what do you want me to do?
I think the Jazz do have a respect problem. I think they do have a perception problem, and I think part of that perception is. The stereotypes that we perpetuate on this show, they shoot a ton of threes,
mm-hmm.
right? They, if you look across the league, should that be a reason you're not favored to win a championship? No, you're twice as far behind the Bucks, who can't, their best player can't shoot threes.
Right.
So what sense does that make? Now, the Lakers, the Nets, and the Clippers are all heavily reliant on the three.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers less so.
And the Lakers less so.
The Lakers less so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at the Nets, all they do is shoot threes.
See James Harden.
Yeah, the only reason they won the game last night here in Phoenix.
Whoa.
They're in Phoenix.
Whoa.
Those of us Salt Lake residents. They're in Phoenix was because they hit a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think it's interesting. Do you believe that the Jazz are lacking respect across the league?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely a lack of respect for the Jazz. And I also think that you'll hear a lot of NBA guys, not players, but like people who follow the NBA, like the media of sorts. There's this conversation around the idea that what happens in the regular season. So like, you know, let's say that the Jazz, you know, put up some ridiculous regular season record, right? And then in the postseason, they flame out because they can't get by the Lakers. I think that thought process and that mindset is a lot of what's going on in this list. Like if you think about it, the Jazz are dominating the league right now, right? They are dominating teams. They made the Bucks look silly. They're doing great things against great teams. But then I think people really start to question them in the postseason, and this comes back to that conversation we kind of had yesterday where we wonder, okay, assuming that Anthony Davis is going to be healthy for the postseason, can the Jazz get by a fully healthy Lakers roster? And so then I see these odds and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Are we making odds based on where, are these odds based on where the league's at right now? Or are these odds based on what people think of the Jazz as a postseason team? Do they think of the Jazz as the team that lost to the Nuggets last year? Do they think of the Jazz as a team that is probably under tooled in terms of firepower to compete with the best teams in the West? Because that's what this list is saying. Hey, you are not capable of beating even the Bucks, let alone the Lakers or the Clippers or any other top-end Western Conference team. That's the only thing that I can think in terms of this list. My opinion is that they should be above the Bucks, but they should not be in the top three. I think they still, that's like where they are. They still got to climb that mountain in terms of respect. So, like, that's where I would have loved to see them, but it's major shade, in my opinion, to put them behind the Bucks.
Yeah, and I think it is major shade. And especially since they just throttled the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in the middle of what's supposed to be a defining stretch of games here. But yet, you know, the Jazz find themselves dominating these teams. And yeah, sure, the Lakers have injuries. The Clippers have injuries. We've all got injuries. Mm-hmm. Mike Conley's out for the Jazz. I get it. The Jazz can only play the people in front of them. I think the Jazz are far better than people are giving them credit for. To give the Milwaukee Bucks twice the likelihood
mm-hmm.
of winning a championship over the Jazz is, it's not only disrespectful, it's insulting.
I feel like we could kind of take this conversation to another level, though, in terms of like looking at the big picture, because this is the same conversation we had with BYU this year, right? Hey, you know, the BYU can only play who's in front of them, you know? Like, they're like Zach Wilson and company is dominating who's in front of them, but they're not getting the respect that, you know, that other 11-1 teams are getting, you know? And so it begs the question in my mind, like, does Salt Lake City have a sports respect problem? Like, we had this conversation several years ago with Utah in the college football playoff. We then had it with BYU. Now we're having it with the Jazz. What's next? The Salt Lake Bees? I mean, you know, we're like, what are we going to do, you know? And I think at some point, nothing will change until a team like the Jazz can get over the hump and get to the finals. That's what is going to have to happen, I think.
I don't even know that it's get to the finals. If the Jazz win a championship, the fortunes of this franchise dramatically change for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that seems simplistic or obvious, but if you think about how many times do we talk about whether or not the Jazz have a chance at free agency?
All the time.
All the time. If you win a championship, now you become a free agent destination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this is going to be KD to the Warriors.
Right.
But if you win a championship, the phone call you make to Washington about Bradley Beal becomes a lot more real.
Yeah.
Right? The conversations you have with other teams about their players become a lot more realistic. Instead, those players want to go to the Lakers. Those players want to go to, like, the Bulls, for instance. Bradley Beal's been talked about with the Bulls, and that Chicago's a destination. And when LeBron was on a free agent trip, he went to the Bulls. D-Wade went and played for the Bulls.
Yeah.
The Bulls are one of the worst organizations in all of professional sports.
Yep.
Not, you know, save the NBA. All of professional sports, I think Jerry Reinsdorf is one of the worst owners in all of sports.
I agree.
Yet LeBron and D-Wade and routinely the best free agents in the NBA will take phone calls from the Bulls, but they won't even entertain the Jazz.
Do you think that's because it is like Chicago and it's historic in terms of our country's history? Or like, what do you think is attributed to that?
I think there's a lot attributed to that. You know, I think there's a lot attributed to, you know, whether or not, like, again, the soul food joke. It's right. Sacramento where Chris Webber, like when Chris Webber was a free agent back in the day, they were putting up billboards
right.
saying, we'll mow your lawn if you stay in Sacramento. Like, it is that narrative.
Yeah.
And that there's no soul food in Salt Lake or.
Which is totally not true, by the way.
It's yeah. It's the stereotype yeah. of what's, oh, the Mormons are going to get you.
Yeah.
That's the stereotype of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And it's not accurate, but you and I know it's not accurate because this is our home.
Yeah.
How many Bradley Beals out there think that the Mormons are going to get you if you come to Salt Lake? How many Trey Burks don't develop until they get out of Salt Lake?
Yeah.
You know, like if you look, and then situations like Gordon Hayward,
mm-hmm.
Gordon Hayward leaving Salt Lake to go to Boston, where what happened? He fell flat on his face. Well, on his ankle and lower leg at one point. But now he's gone to Charlotte. And he's back to, you know, good old Gordy.
Yeah.
There is a stigma about Salt Lake
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to go to Salt Lake and thrive. They need to win an NBA championship to change that.
Yeah.
It's Karl Malone and John Stockton losing to the Bulls again and again. Again. Yeah. Right? Like that. But that's the stigma around yeah. Salt Lake City, right? I mean,
yes.
where do you rank, like if I said to you, of the best organizations in the NBA, like who's the gold standard of NBA teams?
From an organization perspective, I think right now it's the Lakers.
I kind of baited you into that.
Yeah, but I think the Warriors are there too.
But wait, hang on.
Yeah.
Think about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jerry Buss dies,
mm-hmm.
and Magic Johnson's running the show with one of his kids. It's a flipping disaster for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeannie Buss takes over, Pelinka comes in, LeBron shows up, and all of a sudden they're winning championships.
Yeah.
The Jazz have never been through that.
Yeah.
Right? When LHM passed away, you know, his wife took over the organization. And yeah, they didn't win a lot. They went through some lean times,
mm-hmm.
but they've never been a poorly run organization.
Yeah.
You know, you and your fortunes probably changed significantly when you brought in Dennis Lindsay.
Yeah.
You know, and you've slowly ticked in the right direction. And obviously the acquisition of Donovan Mitchell and like you can see the arc. The Lakers they're pretty well run now.
Yeah.
They had been one of the worst run organizations in the NBA for a long stretch.
Yeah, we remember the Kobe and everybody else years.
Yeah. The Jazz have never been that.
Yeah.
The Jazz have never been the Nets.
Yeah.
The Jazz have never been the Bucks for the longest time.
Yeah.
They have never been the Bulls. Now, granted, the Pulse Jordan Bulls,
mm-hmm.
right, were awful. The pre-Jordan Bulls were awful.
But I feel like in terms of the post-Jordan Bulls, like when you win as much as Jordan won when he, you know, as a Bull, like I feel like, and the Warriors are kind of going through this right now. You get, I mean, what do you get? 3 or 4 seasons to be terrible after yeah. you win a bunch of championships?
Look at Liverpool in the Premier League.
Exactly.
Liverpool's going
exactly.
through it now.
Yeah.
You can't be elite for a long time. And I think a lot of people don't realize this.
Yeah.
Why is Anthony Davis probably hurt? Probably. And I'm careful
because
with this.
He's been playing a lot, man.
They play a lot of games.
And this is the amazing part of what LeBron's doing. I mean, this is why people call him like superhuman almost, because he's 38 years old, right? And he's still playing 35 minutes a night. He's still dominating and frankly, he's still in his prime. And I think this is one of the longest primes for an athlete we've ever seen. You know, like we've never seen a guy in the NBA play this long, this well, at this high of a level and dominate the sport. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the Lakers are in a position where they understand we've been saying for 5 years that LeBron's got 3 years left in his prime, you know, and like
that's absolutely
and now,
true.
And now he's still in his prime. So like, I don't know how long LeBron's prime is going to go. You know, are we seriously going to sit here and ponder if he's going to be in his prime into his 40s? Like, I don't know, man. I'm still like, as much as I hate to say it, at some point, as much as he's played over the last 20 years is going to come for him at some point. That will come. There's only so much you can do to slow down that process. So my point here is that what the Lakers did in going to get LeBron is they said, okay, great. Well, 5 years with prime LeBron and then another five paying him too much to be average LeBron, that's 10 years of LeBron James. We'll take that all day long, right? Whereas the Jazz are sitting here saying, well, we've got Donovan and we've got Rudy and we're going to sign Rudy, but we're not going to go and get Bradley Beal. We're not going to go and make these extravagant moves. And so you continue the vicious cycle. So I feel like for teams like the Jazz, for teams like the Warriors, when they were not a good team, when they were just some bum team, you know, they have to spend a lot of money to overcome the fact that they're not a destination. You got to pay guys more. You know, you're paying the inconvenience fee, as I like to say, right? You're paying extra to get the guy to come play for you.
Yes.
To win your
yes.
championship.
Yes.
And they're not willing to do that. The Jazz are not willing to do that. They're willing to pay Rudy Gobert $200, but they're not willing to go and pay extra for Beal.
Well, and what's interesting is I don't think the Jazz have shown a hesitancy to pay the luxury tax. I mean, hell, they're hard capped right now. You go and you may not agree with all the financial moves they've made, but I mean, you spend on Rudy Gobert, mm-hmm. which I totally disagree with.
But you did.
You spend on Mike Conley. Which,
another move I disagree with.
But you did.
But you did.
Like, you've shown the willingness to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always worked out. Has Mike Conley worked out? I don't know yet. Ask me when they get to the playoffs this year if he gets hurt again.
Yeah.
I just feel like the Jazz have shown a willingness to spend money. I am curious to see when does that pay off. Because what's ailing the Jazz right now, frankly, is their struggles in the draft.
Yeah.
And this is something all of our friends on YouTube, all of our Jazz fans on YouTube routinely get after me about.
I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset.
Yeah, Jazz fans don't like. Wow, that's amazing. Jazz fans don't like that I keep talking about guys like Dante Exum and Trey Burke and Trevor, you know, or Trey Lyles. You know, but those are the realities of it. You know, Miguel Bull says, as a Jazz fan, I can tell you I don't think the Jazz are the best team, but we are one of the most disrespected.
That's true.
That is true. Good morning, Sean. He says, my question is, if they were in a bigger sports city, would they get more respect?
Yes.
I will say the fact that the Lakers only have 2 months off after a year-long season didn't really help Davis's injury. They didn't really have a break. They didn't. And this is where everybody says, oh, you play basketball, grow up.
Shut up and dribble.
Yeah, grow up.
Yeah.
It's not a grow up thing. I think people who haven't been through the grind with a franchise like this don't understand that when you don't get 6 months off like you're used to and you get a month and a half off is what it amounted to.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
It's going to crush you.
And I think what people don't understand too, and it's no – I don't mean this as disrespect to the people commenting because I think it's a great point that they didn't have time off, but I think your casual NBA fan does not understand what the offseason actually is. These guys don't just go home and sit on the couch and eat bonbons all day, right? These guys are going to the weight room. These guys are essentially...
Usually it's Cheetos, not bonbons.
Flamin' Hot or regular? Because, you know, I'm more of a Flamin' Hot guy myself, but...
Flaming Hot is not a real Cheeto flavor.
Okay, fine. Either way, my point is these guys don't just go home and chill, right? They go home.
They don't Cheetos. They don't Cheetos and chill.
Yeah,
I'll stop.
They don't Cheetos and chill. Yeah.
I'll stop.
Okay, thank you. But anyway, they go home and maintenance their body. So when they don't get to do that, and they just get 6 weeks to just kind of rest, essentially, and that's it, and then they're right back to it. Yeah, AD's Achilles is not going to be happy about that. So you know, it is a very frustrating thing. I do think that it does put the league, it does risk the product of the league. The best of the best are risking their bodies.
Real quick, some of the other odds to win the NBA championship, the least likely would be the Wolves, Knicks, Thunder, Pistons, all at plus 25,000. The Cavs at 24,000. The Wizards at, how are the Wizards?
Dude.
I would give the Knicks a better chance than the Wizards. The Wizards are plus 19,000. By the way, did you hear about the Spurs? They're going to sit for 4 days now. They're going to miss four straight games because of Corona. And now it looks like the Hornets are going to miss two straight.
Well.
The Hornets are plus 16,000. The Pacers are plus 4,900.
But here's the thing.
As are the Phoenix Suns.
How are the Suns behind the Pacers?
Well, they're even. They're even at 4,900. But yeah. Here's my question. I look at the Suns, and you want to talk about a team that's gotten disrespect. That's a team that's going to have to make a deep playoff run to even change a single perception.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that loss to Brooklyn, if you didn't see the loss to Brooklyn last night, I mean, I this is a team that prides themselves on hard work and defense, and I didn't see any of that in the second half. That team, the Phoenix Suns, went to bed at halftime, and they're still sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, James Harden is hitting big threes, layups. Joe Harris continues to be the most underappreciated player in the league.
Yep.
They did that without KD and Kyrie, who I don't understand why Kyrie's not playing. You know, he says his back hurts, but he's horsing around on the sideline.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Like, I just – the Nets are a huge enigma to me.
Right.
I don't – would you put out your own hard-earned cash on them to win an NBA championship? Because I can't see myself doing that.
Yeah, I think when they're fully healthy and they've got, you know, 40 games under their belt as a squad, yeah, and they've got the chemistry, yeah. I think – here's the thing. The reason I like the Nets is not just because of the nameplate players they have. The reason I like them is because of situations like last night. They have overcoming power, as I like to say. They've got the ability to have a crappy first half in the postseason and come back and beat you. They put up 74 points in one half. Like, that is massive offensive output. Now, the Suns weren't playing good defense, okay. But you also have to give guys like Harden, you know, credit for making a bunch of shots.
Mikal Bridges is on James Harden when he hits that the biggest three of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand how you give him 2 feet of gap.
Yeah.
If you're Mikal Bridges, how are you giving James Harden a foot of gap?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let alone 2 feet of gap.
Yeah, I think guys don't want to, you know, play one-on-one with Harden because they know he's going to draw the foul. They know they're going to get captured.
Yeah, I think at some point you got to step up and play defense and not foul the guy.
And I also think, too, that's you know, goes right into situational awareness, too. I mean, you're at the end of the game. The Nets have all the momentum, and you're giving him space to shoot on a walk-up three. I mean, he's going to knock that down every time.
Yeah. Anyway, right now, today, who's going to win the NBA championship?
I would still go with the Lakers because I think Anthony Davis has plenty of time. You know, if they treat this injury with respect, they give him rest, I think they'll be fine.
I think if I had to pick today, I would take the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because I think anytime you have a calf strain that's bothering your Achilles,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be out for 2 months.
So here's
if you come back.
And the question then becomes, okay, well, let's say that AD's not available for the finals. You know, are the Nets completely healthy? You can't tell me Kyrie's going to last the whole year. He never does.
Well, but I think what happens is they give him rest because, my back hurts. They give him rest, right?
Right.
And KD's getting a lot of rest with, you know, thanks to our friends at the coronavirus. Right? And the idiot's not wearing a mask in a car.
The coronavirus.
What an idiot. Like Kevin Durant, you're better than that. But anyway, here nor there. My point is, they're getting a lot of rest.
Yeah.
Right? So I think Kyrie will be fine. And by the way, without Kyrie, I still would pick them to win the championship. KD and James Harden are mature guys who understand how to share the ball.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick one team to win a championship right now, I would be all in on the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, maybe Kevin Durant gets over on LeBron finally. You know, they've had their share of matchups in the finals. I mean, maybe he finally gets over.
Maybe he gets over him finally.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, no, I'm not going to do it. Let's talk NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah.
Should there be one?
No. This is one of the few times I agree with not playing. I mean, again, this goes right back to the conversation of, hey, you had 6 weeks off. So you had 6 weeks off. The coronavirus is still a huge issue for the league. But, yes, we're going to have an all-star game. Yes, we're going to bring all these guys together. We're going to essentially bring them out of quarantine, right? And we're going to bring them all together, and we're going to have an all-star game. And we're going to do a slam dunk contest at the half. When is the slam dunk contest ever taken a half hour? So what is it, just best of one dunk? Like, come on, dude.
Could be.
Like, I don't, that's just not a slam dunk contest to me. What about the 3-point shooting contest? Because that's what everybody wants to watch, you know? Like, the slam dunk contest hasn't been awesome. The last two slam dunk contests that were awesome were Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. And there was huge controversy about the fact that Aaron Gordon allegedly got gypped. So, like, I just don't.
Well, he did, not allegedly.
I don't think that it's cool to try to run an all-star game and basically give it half-ass effort. Like, you
need
to do it.
I don't think the NBA gives a half-ass effort on anything.
Well,
I think it's pretty clear here. You shouldn't have an all-star game, A, because of coronavirus, B, because your guys need a week off.
Yeah.
Right? They need a break. C, if you do have an all-star game, Kyrie, LeBron, you know, the established stars in this league are not going to play in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker, I would guess, would play in that game. Right?
I would guess.
But my point is that I just think that there's no rationale, and I guess the rationale is they need the revenue.
Yeah.
They don't need the exposure. They're really the only game in town right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, spring training kicks off. I don't think baseball is a threat to the NBA.
Dude, what
at
does
all.
That say about the NHL?
The NHL continues to be an afterthought right now. I mean, if you look at the NBA versus the NHL, there are not a whole lot of people that are – like, I happen to be a huge hockey fan, so I'm watching the Blackhawks. I'm – you know, like I'm paying attention to the NHL, but I'm a hockey fan.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's a hockey fan in this country. There's not a lot of people that are going to turn on the NHL over the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if my wife was an NBA fan, my wife is not a fan of the NBA. She does not like watching games on TV. She would absolutely watch hockey over the NBA.
Yeah.
If my wife was an NBA fan, I'd be watching the league pass every night because I have the league pass. Yeah. Why wouldn't I watch it?
Yeah.
So I just think the NBA dwarfs anything but the NFL right now. And again, this is that conversation we've been having.
Yeah.
I think the NBA's popularity is growing
totally
because of the youth that's being injected into the game. Guys like LaMelo Ball need to be at the All-Star game.
Totally. Totally.
That raises his profile.
Yep.
A guy like LeBron James needs to be there in street clothes. Not playing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? And furthermore, if I am a guy like LaMelo Ball, I want to play in the All-Star game because it does raise my profile. And he can do all of his circus antics and, you know, half-court three-point shots. And, like, that all works in the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
That's why the NBA wants an All-Star event.
I get it.
They want the money. They want the TV. It's usually a very well-rated event.
Yeah. I get it. I mean,
but I don't think you should do it. I just don't.
It's hard for me to, you know, follow the idea that, hey, coronavirus, but yep, we're still going to have an all-star game. We're going to get all these guys together. Because even if, you know, everybody's testing negative, right? It takes one little mistake. It takes 2 minutes standing next to somebody that is not in the league's, you know, protocol or whatever, to infect one person, and then everyone's compromised.
Yeah.
And that's what I have major concerns about. Like that was the whole thing about why the bubble worked so well, because they literally weren't letting people in or out. They were in a bubble. we're going to bring all these people together, risk coronavirus, so we can bring in the TV
but
money.
But look at there are fans in the stands right now. The Suns had 3,000 fans at that game last night. And in the start of this homestand, they were at 1,500.
Yeah.
They've doubled that to 3,000. If you look around sports, there's a lot more fans in the stands.
And I think it can be done. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I think it can be done safely. But I don't know. The last thing I want to happen is to force having an all-star game, and then there's an outbreak across the league, and we don't play.
But this also goes to this idea that, you know, NBA players deserve to be vaccinated, and I'm telling you, they don't. Like, we have frontline workers in this country that can't get a vaccine. We have, you know, it was interesting watching Joe Biden's town hall last night. There was a woman who was talking about how her child was born with COPD, which essentially is a condition that limits your lungs' ability to process air, to work at peak. And she was saying that he's not able to get a vaccine.
Right.
And Joe Biden looked her right in the face and said, if you don't mind, would you hang around afterwards? I'd like to see if we can find a solution for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the people that need vaccines.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant needs to wear a mask in a car so he doesn't get exposed.
Well, and I think the other portion of this conversation is NBA players and athletes in general have way more protection than your average Joe, right? Like, they are living literally a protected life. They have structure. They're protected from exposure. So the vaccine for them is not nearly as useful as it would be for, you know, any essential worker or frontline person.
High-risk
individuals who have to be in the high-risk situation to do their job. And so, yeah, I don't think saying that professional athletes deserve to get a vaccine, I could not disagree more.
That's a little strong to me.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you want to have the risk of an NBA All-Star game. I mean, I get it. You've been decimated with financial loss. You've been decimated with event money.
Yeah.
I think we are rapidly approaching 10,000 fans at a game. Mm-hmm. I think that's coming. I think we as Americans are becoming used to wearing a mask.
Right.
Now, not to derail, but I just got an N95 mask a week ago.
Yeah.
It is much more difficult to wear that mask than a normal mask.
Right.
Like, it restricts your airflow pretty significantly. But just wearing a garden variety mask, I don't understand why this is a big deal. And
what is a big deal?
Why, like, there's a lot of people who still don't believe that we should have to wear masks. It's this whole thing, and not to leave the All-Star game behind, but it's this whole thing about, hey, I want to go out to eat. Okay, well, you got to show me a passport that you've been vaccinated. And you have to wear a mask in the restaurant.
Yep.
And people don't think, they think that's a violation of their civil rights. And
which I still don't understand, by the way.
I don't either. I mean, we're in the deadliest pandemic that we have ever seen. We are approaching 500,000 Americans that are dead.
Yeah.
And people are still bitching about wearing masks.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I just don't understand that.
Well, and I think one of the more dangerous things that I've seen recently, too, and it's funny, you know, this conversation kind of briefly came up at the good old Yelpatory yesterday. You know, people are getting comfortable with the pandemic. So they're like, okay, a vaccine's coming. I've already had it. I'm in a good place. All right, let's go out to Diego Pops in Old Town Scottsdale. You know, like, that was a conversation that got had yesterday. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, ooh, man, dude, like, going out to Old Town Scottsdale, if you've never been to Old Town Scottsdale, it is usually crowded, it is usually very busy, and it's usually, in a time like this with a pandemic running around, it's usually extremely high risk, but people are still doing it, you know? And I just, like, going to the grocery store to get your stuff is one thing, you know? You can work with that. But going out is just, it's very sketchy to me, and I just don't see how people are so comfortable with it.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. We just, I don't know that we get lazy, but we just run out of tolerance for being on guard, if you will.
Maybe it's like, maybe the better way to say it is like, we just get to a point with the, you know, the quarantining and like being disciplined with that. We're just like, well, I had it, so F it. I'm just going to go and do it anyway.
Which, by the way, makes no sense. And education's part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me that people think, well, I already had it. What am I worried about?
That's just such a huge misconception.
Yeah. By the way, if you've already had it, you can still get it. Now, if you've had a vaccine, the chances of it doing real damage to you are far less.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've had coronavirus and you haven't had a vaccine, they say you are just as likely as anybody else to get it again.
Yeah.
You know, and to wrap this up around the All-Star game, like, I look at the idea of having, like, the Super Bowl with all those frontline workers. Now, a lot of those people were vaccinated, but they were all wearing masks, which I thought was fantastic. I look at some of the major events, like X Games was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No fans at the X Games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bummer, man.
It is.
Like, I'm ready to get back to it, but I'm also ready to get back to it when we're on time.
Yeah.
You know, when it's the right thing to do. When people's lives are not in danger. And I think when we skip these steps, we disrespect the 490,000 people who are dead.
I would agree.
And we disrespect their families. And I think when we try to skip steps, we disrespect people that work in hospitals or emergency rooms or doctor's offices. We disrespect firefighters and police officers and paramedics who have no choice but to be exposed to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we disrespect their effort.
And I feel
and
like
sacrifice.
We don't have the perspective that they have. We don't have, we like, you know, if you're not a frontline worker, which clearly we are not on this show, we will never be able to have the daily outlook and perspective that they have. We'll never have to deal with the thought of, okay,
yeah,
time to put on my PPE. You know, let's go and get it again today for 14 hours at the hospital. We're never going to have that perspective. And I think that if you're somebody going out to bars and risking your health, like, I would just encourage you to rethink that, because that's just, I agree, it's disrespectful for sure.
Yeah, make sure you follow us on social media. Find me on Instagram and Twitter stuff, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. You can find Jake at SLC Supercars. Shall we talk about our good friend Tucker Carlson? Never a bad time to talk
Tuckinator.
So you may have noticed that it's been snowing a little bit. Well, in Salt Lake City, okay, cool. That's what we do. We snow.
Amazing snowstorm this morning.
We get snow, we get on a snowboard, and we live our lives.
Yep.
Well, apparently that's not what happens in Texas. And there has been a major, major event in Texas where they are freezing. They are getting sleet that's turned into huge snowfall and just absolutely abnormal conditions in Texas. And what's happened is the power regulators in Texas have had to limit electricity around the state because of the damage that the freezing temperatures have done to the power grid in Texas. Well, if you listen to Tucker Carlson on the now downtrodden Fox News channel, it's all the fault of wind turbines.
So, unbeknownst to most people, the Green New Deal came to Texas. The power grid in the state became totally reliant on windmills. Then it got cold and the windmills broke, because that's what happens in the Green New Deal. You're without power. Millions are still without power tonight. Several have died. Now, the same energy policies that have wrecked Texas this week are going nationwide. They're coming to your state.
Okay.
Tucker, buddy.
first of all, yes, there is wind power in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Solar and wind account for 10% total power in the state of Texas.
Right.
10%.
So not like 50.
No.
Just 10.
10%.
A small percentage.
But here's what happened in Texas. And Tucker Carlson and, I mean, there were a ton, like Hannity did the same thing. What happened is Texas is almost exclusively reliant on natural gas and natural gas pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
So it got cold.
Really cold.
In Texas, they do not prepare for cold weather. And so they don't have, like, their natural gas infrastructure is not insulated. So when it gets below freezing, what happens? The pipeline freezes, which cuts off natural gas flow to the state of Texas, which is how most people in Texas heat their homes and businesses.
Right.
It's how most business is done. Nuclear power, natural gas, that's the prevalent power source in Texas.
Right.
That's why they have such power outages in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing, and I'm not going to say nothing, because again, wind and solar, the Green New Deal that Tucker Carlson's going on about, which by the way, the Green New Deal's not real. It didn't happen. But wind and solar in Texas is 10% of their power grid.
Right.
Natural gas is far greater in Texas. And I just say, again, the estimate that the grid's total winter capacity, about 80% of it, or 67 gigawatts, could be generated by natural gas, coal, and then nuclear power.
Right. So the turbines really have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with why people are out of power in Texas.
Right.
Yet on Fox News, they want to tell you it's all because, oh, the windmills are broken.
Well, here's the governor. This is Texas Governor Abbott talking about this with Sean Hannity. Listen to this.
Gas, oil, old-fashioned oil, and coal. I'm not against nuclear energy either. I'm not against wind turbines. But my question is, if they have these rolling blackouts and you got freezing weather, I mean, and they're not reliable, and it's use it or lose it, what good is it?
Sean, this shows how the Green New Deal would be a deadly deal for the United States of America. Texas is blessed with multiple sources of energy, such as natural gas and oil and nuclear, as well as solar and wind. But you saw from what Trace said, and that is our wind and our solar got shut down, and they were collectively more than 10% of our power grid. And that thrust Texas into a situation where it was lacking power in a statewide basis, that was power that was spread out by that ERCOT organization that you were talking about. As a result, it just shows that fossil fuel is necessary for the state of Texas, as well as other states, to make sure that we will be able to heat our homes in the wintertime and cool our homes in the summertime.
Guy, come on.
That is Fox News, Sean Hannity with Governor Abbott of Texas. Let me just read this. These are facts. These are facts. Online, and I've tweeted them. Find them on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. It is estimated that that of the grids in Texas, the power grid, of the grid's total winter capacity, 80% could be generated by natural gas, coal, and nuclear power.
All gas, no break.
Only 7% forecasted winter capacity was expected to come from wind sources across the state. Only 7%. So wait, let me get this right. You're the governor of Texas.
Texas.
You took your testicles off, put them in a jar, and handed them to Sean Hannity. When you were like, oh, this is why the Green New Deal can't come to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind, a-hole, that you're the guy in charge of making sure people don't die.
That's what I love about Republicans right now.
You're in charge of making sure that people don't die in Texas. Yet you don't want to talk about the fact that 80% of your power grid went out yesterday because natural gas stopped flowing in the state of Texas.
Concept you and your sticky fingers probably find hard to grasp.
80% of the outages in Texas were natural gas.
Yep.
And 80% of the grid is reliant on anything other than wind.
So instead of going on Fox News and saying, hey, this is what happened, right? Instead of just saying, hey,
man,
because I don't, here's the truth. And this is something that we've been dealing with through the Trump years. Instead of just saying, hey, here's what happened. Here's the truth about what happened. Our system is not retrofitted for winter. It is not, we have not seen conditions like this historically. So when that happens, our pipes freeze. So now, because this is happening more, we have to address the grid.
Let me read you. So you just heard from Governor Abbott on Fox News' Sean Hannity. Here's what he tweeted. The ability of some companies that generate the power has been frozen. This includes natural gas and coal generators. Governor Abbott tweeted that.
Right.
Then had the audacity to go on Fox News and say that this was a wind and solar issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even though wind in Texas is only responsible for 6% of the power grid.
Yeah.
And then he tweets, hey, by the way, it's because the pipelines are frozen. We can't move natural gas. Oh,
okay, so I get it. You want to look good nationally, but then locally you're going to tell the truth. Is that what we're doing?
I'm amazed by it. I am amazed by it. This is what kills me about our climate right now and people that don't believe in climate change. Hey, Dick, let me explain to you. It's freezing and snowing in Texas. It's Texas where apparently they never used to get snow when the climate wasn't being destroyed. And now that the climate is being destroyed by fossil fuels and methane, which by the way, what state produces the most methane in the United States of America?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Texas. it's amazing to me.
It's so easy. Like,
it's amazing to me that people don't recognize climate change is happening.
Yeah.
We are. It's Texas, bro. It's freezing to the point where, like, I follow a guy named Max Tuning on YouTube. Max Tuning built a beautiful home outside of Houston.
Yeah.
They're not used to anything freezing. None of the pipes in construction in Houston are insulated.
Right.
None of them. all of their pipes burst, because this is such a rare catastrophic weather event in Texas that's not a hurricane.
Right.
Right? And how do hurricanes happen? Warm and cold converge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's usually warm. They're used to rain. They're not used to snow and freezing temperatures.
Amazing.
Climate changes here. A. B. Why take the opportunity to go after wind turbines when everybody knows that 6%, you're blaming wind turbines for the power outages and people not having heat right now in Texas. Take away 6% of any state's power grid. Are you telling me that a large swath of the population is going to be out in the cold because you lost 6% of power?
No.
California does that on a half-hour basis usually. I mean, there's no state that deals with more brownouts and blackouts in peak than California. So let's just be real about it. Why we have to spin and bullshit everything when it comes to politics and news is beyond me.
I'm not a big fan of Fox.
Right? Well, I it's hard for me to watch Sean Hannity at all.
Right.
I can get to about 5 to 7 minutes of Tucker Carlson. And then it's shit like this that he says about, oh, well, wind turbines are why people are freezing tonight.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with wind turbines.
Yeah.
But yet, because we want to attack AOC, oh, it's the AOC and the brand new screw-off deal. Come on, man. Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's just playing on the classic.
He's playing on the fear of people. What Fox News is doing, and to their credit, I guess, they're playing to their base, right?
Yeah.
And that base has shrunk considerably. They are last in the ratings right now.
Mm-hmm.
Rupert Murdoch, who is their owner, has talked about selling them because now he's going to put a Fox News style channel on in the UK,
mm-hmm.
which, hey, more power to you, bruh. But I guess you're playing to your base, but isn't your base the same base that believed in QAnon?
Yes.
Isn't your base the same base that believed that there was the big steal? And by the way, did anybody see that MyPillow Mike Lindell is now being sued for billions?
So I said, yeah.
By Dominion. There's no evidence whatsoever that there was a great steal
mm-hmm.
or the big steal. There's no evidence whatsoever that Democrats are child molesters who are raping children in the basement of the Capitol building. There is no evidence whatsoever that, as QAnon has reported, that Joe Biden and Donald Trump had surgery to swap faces so that Donald Trump could remain president. There's no evidence that happened. By the way, if you're looking for evidence that happened, I would encourage you to get help.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no evidence that the power outages in Texas right now are because of wind turbine.
Mm-hmm.
No evidence whatsoever.
Yep.
Yet you put that out there and millions of people believe it. And it's how we wind up with insurrections at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we wind up with evidence now that they were trying to kill Mike Pence.
Yeah.
It's how we wind up with evidence that now white supremacy has infiltrated most law enforcement agencies in this country, including the Secret Service and the FBI. That's how this happens. And so it's not just Tucker Carlson talking about the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is not a reality.
Yeah.
And I hope people understand that. The Green New Deal has never happened. It's never been instituted, right? Why are people in California and Texas using wind turbines?
Because it's windy.
And on a lower level, wind turbines are producing energy. But when you have a catastrophic event like freezing temperatures in Texas, and you out and out refuse to recognize climate change, maybe we need a Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's a fair question.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah,
it is absolutely amazing to me that we continue to lie to each other and those lies become fact with no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we've gotten to where we are.
It's how Donald Trump got elected.
And this goes back generations. How do you think the tobacco industry is where the tobacco industry is? Yep. By lying to people. How do you think that our, and I don't mean to go way off the deep end here, but how do you think that our beliefs in what we should be eating and how we should be eating have gotten to where they are? How do you think that you know, corn syrup has gotten to where it is? How do you think that believing that Lucky Charms is a healthy breakfast? Oh, wait, dumbass. How do you think all of us believe that we have to eat breakfast every day? It's the most important meal in the day. When it turns out to be complete bullshit, that we all are unique individuals who need to eat certain ways based on our body type.
Yep.
But yet we get pork producers and we get methane from cattle producers. Why do I not eat very much red meat maybe once or twice a year? Because it's bad for me and it's bad for the world. That's why. It's the lies that we have told people for generations. Oh, cigarettes are cool. Look at the Marlboro Man.
Schemers trying to control their little worlds.
I mean, Marlboro Red's in a huge cock. That's the Marlboro Man. All right, let's get back to the football game. Like, that's what the tobacco industry was built on for however long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we believed it.
And then people started dying, and all of a sudden that changed the narrative.
No, Jake. It wasn't the tobacco that killed him. It was the red meat and beer every night that killed him. Right? And if it wasn't the red meat and beer, oh, well, some people are just genetically predisposed to dying when they eat pesticides and stuff like that. I mean, that's what the trade and stock and trade in most industries is. How do you think that weed killer and you know, like pesticides have one of the largest lobbies in the world?
Yeah.
And it's foreign lobby. It's not even domestic lobby.
Right.
How did the tobacco industry get to where they are? How did the liquor industry get to where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Because they spend money. And what they do is when you spend money, you can craft any lie you want into truth.
Right.
It's how Donald Trump got elected. By the way, did we ever see his tax returns? No.
Nope.
Look what we overlooked.
Did we ever get a health care plan? No.
No. But they were going to repeal and replace it on day one. But look at what we overlooked with Donald Trump. That now has become normal.
Mm-hmm.
We overlooked multiple double-figure sexual assault allegations.
Yep.
We looked at Donald Trump as a guy that was going to build the greatest economy we've ever seen. We trusted him even though he's been bankrupt multiple times. Most of his projects lose money. But we're going to elect that guy to rebuild the greatest economy we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then when you tell people, hey, by the way, just, I don't know how to break this to you easily, but the economy sucks. No, it doesn't, Monty. Wind turbines fucked us in the, but look at the stock market. Like, hey, man, the stock market's not an indicator of how the economy, well, I did well on AMC.
Can you measure it?
Yeah, can you, I mean, where's the Marlboro Man? Like, that's what we do.
Yep.
We don't want to talk about the fact that the stock market is meaningless to Jim and John Q. Public, who are trying to figure out how to pay their rent. Thank God Joe Biden pushed
Aerotine
off the
Aerotine International, my friends.
Yeah, exactly. They Joe Biden pushed off the foreclosure and eviction ban into June. And of course, Fox News said that was one of the worst decisions for the economy. Mm-hmm. How are we going to move the economy forward? Right? Oh, but Joe Biden's going to defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
What did Joe Biden say last night?
Mm-hmm.
I am not defunding the police and I'm not in favor of it. But Joe Biden is going to mandate a $15 minimum wage. What did Joe Biden say last night? I believe we should have a $15 minimum wage, but I'm not going to mandate it. Oh, Joe Biden is going to forgive everybody's college debt and we're all going to be in trouble. What did Joe Biden say last night? I'm not in favor on any level of forgiving federal student loan debt. It depends. Did you go to a state school or did you go to a private institution?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are different levels of debt forgiveness. Oh, but if you listen to the Republicans, oh, God, Joe Biden is too old. Joe Biden can't do this. Joe Biden can't do that. Oh, we have a plan. We have a warp speed operation. Donald Trump got the vaccine out there until it turns out he never did. Oh, but insurrection, what? We believe all of these lies, man.
Yeah.
That's what we do in this country. We lie to each other to cover up the truth that was created by another lie. So what do we have? We have a nation of liars.
Mm-hmm.
And we all believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas is in trouble because the turbines rusted up and froze. It drives me. It's coal mining in West Virginia.
Clean
man.
Coal, baby. Wash yeah. that coal with soap and water.
Does anybody remember that Donald Trump defined clean coal as, you know, they're just going to get a hose out and they're going to clean the coal? Oh, he was kidding. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Anyway, I'll stop. I don't feel better.
You don't?
I don't, because it really frustrates me that we, how do I say this gently? We've lost the desire to care about each other.
Mm-hmm.
We overwhelmingly in our country, we want to be right. We don't want to be compassionate.
Right.
We want to be rich. We don't want to have a soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I said to you, hey, you're going to be one of the worst human beings on earth, but you can be a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing 9 out of 10 people would be like, all right, well.
Yeah, when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
You know, I'll take the billions.
Yeah.
And I would guess. You know, it just, there is no payday in being decent.
Nope.
There is no payday in treating other people well.
Nope.
There is no payday in doing what's right when nobody's watching.
Nope.
There's no payday in that. You know, like it just.
Anyway, that's how the world is, man.
I'll stop ranting because I frankly could keep ranting and I probably shouldn't. That's mm-hmm. probably not what's best for this show. So there you have it.
Good talk.
Anyway.
Good talk today.
Good talk.
Yeah, good talk.
No,
good
I did show. Not read everybody's comments. I apologize. I was busy ranting and raving.
Okay.
Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, TheMontyShow.com. The Monty Show on Twitter and Instagram. Until tomorrow, say, let's go clean that coal, Jake.
Let's go clean that coal, Jake.